Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
As we continue our springtime journey of positive renewal with the season, we'll concentrate today on those of you contemplating retirement, either now or in a few years. Even if you're presently only in your 40s or early 50s, stay tuned because it's never too early to begin thinking about how you'd like to maximize your next stage of life. And it's hard to believe, but the youngest baby boomer turned 50 on January 1st of last year. Welcome, boomers, to the Half Century Club. And 3 years early, on January 1st, 2011, the oldest baby boomers began turning 65. And for the next 18 years, as our guest points out, between 7,000 and 10,000 of you will celebrate your 65th anniversary every single day. And if you're not already retired, or even if you are but remain dissatisfied, it's certainly time to begin thinking about and planning for a positive next stage. And like everything else you baby boomers have done over the past 30 years, I'm certain your transition to post-career will rock the world. For sure, your so-called golden years will be far different from your parents. In the first place, we're all living longer, of course. Current longevity stats estimate at age 65 you have another 20 or even 30 years to live. And I don't know about you, but I don't plan to spend all those years sitting on the porch or on the beach contemplating my navel. And so, for you, after age 65, what comes next? My guest today, Dr. Hans Finzel, is here to help you consider that very question. But before I introduce him, please note that we're not going to be talking about retirement finances. We've covered finances in our golden years a number of times. Most recently on our January 19th program, We Live Well in the Present While Investing for Retirement. And remember, you can always go back and listen to prior broadcasts at any time. That's the advantage of internet radio. Today we'll proceed on the assumption that you have adequate financing, or you will have adequate financing by the time you retire. So if you choose to continue pursuing your career beyond 65 or whatever, you'll do so strictly because you want to, not because you have to. So how do you want to dedicate your 60s, 70s, even your 80s? And Dr. Hans Finzel is a successful author, teacher, mentor, speaker, and workshop leader, known internationally as the Leadership Answer Man. He's trained leaders on 5 continents. He speaks from experience because he served 20 years as president and CEO of an international nonprofit world venture, and in 2012 co-founded with his wife Donna HD Leaders, that offers mentoring, podcasts, videos, and a wealth of resources for leaders of profits and nonprofits. And he's authored 7 books, including bestsellers published in over 20 languages. And he's co-author with Dr. Rick Hicks of a brand new book on the subject that we're going to talk about today, Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life, a great title. And welcome, Hans. It's indeed an honor to have you on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thanks so much, Roy. Great to be with you today on the show.
Well, as an inspiration to anyone nearing the end of their present career, either facing mandatory retirement or simply running out of gas, feeling like the time has come, tell us your personal story. I know you served 20 years as president and CEO of a major nonprofit venture. Why don't you just sit back, relax, and enjoy those Colorado sunsets?
Well, I tell you, I don't like the word retirement, and I find a lot of baby boomers don't like the word. In fact, when we published this book, Launch Your Encore, we were thinking about having it titled "Retirement is a Four-Letter Word," but our publisher didn't go for that. I think boomers, you know, You like that, huh?
Yeah.
It's funny how...
I was also going to mention, I like how I think Dr. Rick, in an interview you did with him, says he hates the word senior, and I absolutely despise being called senior or senior citizen.
That goes right up there.
It implies that, you know,
in fact, my wife and I
went out to pasture and you no longer have anything to offer.
Yeah, that is the reason why boomers, I think, generally we don't like the word retirement. Are you retired? Or I hate when people say, hey, are you retired or are you enjoying retirement? I'm like, I want to slap them in the face. And I think it's because we boomers have always wanted to make a difference, change the world, be engaged. And to me, the word retirement means sidelined, put out the pasture, no longer important. And I don't think any of us want to go there. And so that's why we hate the word. I mean, yes, it's time to relax and do more things you love to do. But, you know, we believe just playing golf and taking your grandkids to school is not enough.
No.
You still have to find something new to do, meaning and purpose. And that's so what I did is I had my whole career. When I turned 60, in my 20 years as a CEO of a big international nonprofit, I just grew really bored.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I want to do another thing in the future. I'm not done. And I probably should get after it now when I'm 60, wait till retirement age to start my encore. So I decided to leave that career early and launch my encore, a new online business and speaking and writing and all this stuff. So, yeah, so our whole philosophy is let's just think about what are we going to do after our main act career is over.
Yeah,
and there's so many exciting things to do, you know?
That's for sure. Well, in researching your new book, Launch Your Encore, did you and your co-author find that most people in their late 50s or early 60s had given a serious thought to their post-career phase, or if not, why not? What are the most common excuses why people put off thinking about their next stage?
So to answer your first question, no. Most people don't think about it. Most people are in denial about it. It's kind of what I call the Jay Leno syndrome. You know, Jay Leno didn't want to retire. He was having a great time. He was at the top of his game. And all of a sudden, the network forces him out because he's 65, and they want to put the young people in.
What's so magic about 65? That's, of course, there's some leaders that
I know, but it's happening all over America.
52,
I know. It's happening everywhere in companies and businesses and education and ministries. And so whether you like it or not, there's a, you know, one of our first chapter is called People Get Ready. And it's based on the old song, People Get Ready, there's a train a-coming. Guess what? Things are going to change whether you like it or not. But I think most people don't want to think about it. They live in denial. They think they're just going to be fine. Now, there are people. I have some dear friends. This woman is a teacher, and she's just counting the months till she can retire
because
she hates her job.
Yeah, that's
very unfortunate. And there are those people who can't. But the problem with that couple is they don't have the money to retire.
Well, the other problem is if they've gone through a long period of their lives working at something they hate, what's the magic that's going to suddenly brighten them up and find something in retirement that they love to do if they basically sacrifice that
really
much
good
of their
point.
Years up till now?
That's a very good point. But I do know there's people like in the military or education or even government where, you know, they put in their time, they get their retirement, and then they do have the chance to do what they've always wanted to do.
Yes,
you know, start that little business, open that coffee shop, become a consultant. You know, I was at Trader Joe's the other day shopping, and this gentleman that was helping me check out, he was so friendly. And I don't know if you know, have Trader Joe's where you live, but
we have one.
It's a really different. Yeah, it's a culture that I think is really cool, and they tell their employees to really engage with the customers. And this guy was like 75, and he was just really dignified looking, and it's unusual, it's kind of countercultural for me. But I said, I said, what did you used to do? I know you haven't always been a checker at a grocery store. And he said, you know, I was a financial consultant my whole life, a financial advisor, and I retired and got so bored.
Yeah.
And so I started working here, and I absolutely love it. And I thought, that's a great encore story, because most people are not going to be happy just to stop.
Yeah.
And just sit around and goof off and take care of honey-do lists, you know?
What a difference between him and a guy that, you know, another clerk that's doing the same thing, but only because they're desperate and they need the money and, you know, they're old and tired and down in the dumps and don't really
think that. Yeah, I don't think Trader Joe's would hire somebody like that.
No, but there are plenty
of
stores.
They want people
who
are very positive and upbeat.
Yeah. No, that. Yep. But I mean, just he likes meeting people. He likes talking to people. He likes getting out and doing things versus somebody that has to do that. It's just such a huge difference. When you're in your book, you point out there's little middle ground. You said most retirement people either love it or hate it. And what are some of the primary factors that differentiate those who are optimistic and those who are despondent about their post-career years?
Yeah, I tell the story there. Rick and I were in this coffee shop, and there were a bunch of men there. I hang out there a lot, and we just decided to ask these guys as a group this question. We said, you know, we're working on the book.
Yeah.
We said, guys, we're writing a book on, like, retirement or the retirement years, and could we ask you a question? And they said, sure. So what comes to your mind when you hear the word retirement? And it was amazing how half of them hated the word, half of them loved the word. And then, so we started drilling down. For those of you who hate the word, why? And one guy said, well, I don't know what to do. I'm going to be, I'm going to lose all my purpose in life. I'm just scared of it because I love my job and I know I'm going to have to quit. So I just have no idea what to do. The other
Isn't that sad?
You know, I'm finally going to get to do what I wanted to do. I'm finally going to be able to get rid of get away from this job I hate. So it's as many reactions to the word as there are people.
But isn't it sad, somebody that like that first group you talked about that identify themselves so much through their career, their current title, or what they do at work that they feel like they'll be hopeless and you know, without purpose after they quit that job, which makes absolutely no sense.
Roy, I went through that. It makes a lot of sense to me. I went through that because I was a president and CEO of a $35 million nonprofit for 20 years.
Yeah.
And when I quit to start my own business, you know, men get really wrapped up with their identity and what they do. The second question a man usually asks another man after what is your name is, what do you do? And somehow that we get a lot of meaning and purpose out of that. And so when I was no longer president and CEO of World Venture, all of a sudden I was a nobody. And it was actually very healthy for me because I learned in that first year, you know, don't let your job define who you are.
Yes, amen.
And I got over that. But, you know, it's sad, but it's a very common thing for men especially. And that's why this adjustment, this transition once your career is over, it's huge. Emotionally, it's huge for men and women.
Yes.
Let me also say, when I came home, my wife works, she has a home business, but it had a huge impact on her all of a sudden having me around the house. And
it often has a negative impact on the wife, on the spouse.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean in your case, but I mean
a lot of... You heard the old saying... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, and not in your case, but I know I've heard of a lot of people where the one spouse drives the other one nuts when they retire and they're home all the time.
It's a big adjustment. It was a big adjustment for us. We're about 2 years into it, and we finally have our ebb and flow. But on Monday this week, she said, hey, couldn't you, like, disappear for a day? And, you know, it's the old saying, I married you for better or for worse, but not for lunch. And so I've learned to go to work at Starbucks. I mean, I don't work at Starbucks, but I do my work at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And I I go away, and you know, even though my office is here at home, her office is here at home too, but it's an adjustment. It really is a huge adjustment. We talk a lot about transitions in the book, and a warning, you know, just don't go on autopilot.
Yeah.
Help us help you think through what's coming.
Yeah, it's so important that husband and wife talk about retirement together as well, because if they have different careers and they have different aspirations, and maybe that's been masked by the fact they've been raising kids and they've been pursuing their separate careers for years, but suddenly, you know, they're thrust together routinely, and if they haven't talked it out and have some kind of a joint plan, it could be a disaster, I would think.
It can be. It can be really tough on a marriage. It can be very tough. And again, sometimes it's the wife that's retiring. In the case I was saying about the teacher, it's the wife who just can't wait to get home. But I wonder if she's really thought through, okay, what am I going to do when I get home?
Yeah,
and some people think naively, oh, I'm just going to do whatever I want. Well, I just want to do whatever I want to all day long.
Yeah, I'm going to travel all around the world, and I'm
going to
play golf every day. You know, they have these naive assumptions of something they occasionally get to do or maybe never get to do, and they think they can spend their whole life doing it. But once they start routinely doing it every day, they find out it is kind of hollow and it doesn't really fulfilling.
Yep. Right.
Well, do you endorse the philosophy, I will work until the day I drop dead? How do you respond to the person who puts career above everything else in life? And how do you advise that person to find balance and proper balance either before or after they retire?
You know, people that say that, don't get me wrong, but I think a lot of times they're workaholics.
Yeah.
And the only thing they know how to do is work. And so I would caution. In fact, I do a lot of speaking and teaching, and I even write on the topic of don't be a workaholic and take the vacation that's allotted to you and don't sacrifice your marriage and your children for your job. And
amen.
I'm afraid a lot of people that say that, that's the only thing they know how to do is work. I really think as we get older, we can work a little less hard and have more time for our grandkids and more time to give back to the community and our church. So I don't like that. I mean, I'm always, until the day I die, I want to be engaged in stuff that's meaningful and purposeful, you know?
Yeah.
But that statement kind of turns me off.
It
reminds you of the people who do neglect their family, they neglect their marriage, and they just work, and then one day they drop dead.
Yeah, my wife and I took our
here's
car.
Here's something.
No, I was going to say my wife and I took our car to be serviced by a fellow that said he loved doing work on cars, and he never kept talking about retirement, but he died before he ever did, and it was such a tragic thing for his wife, obviously.
Oh, yeah, she was probably really looking forward to those retirement years with him.
Yeah. Probably so.
You know, I think when you look back at the end of your life, I think who says at the end of their life, I wish I'd spent more time at the office? You know, when you're about ready. Nobody does.
Yeah. Well, on the other side of it, I don't know. How about a steady diet of cherished leisure time activities? You never got enough to do during your working life, like fishing, boating, world travel, taking the grandkids to the zoo, playing golf. Do you actually find a significant number of retirees that you've talked to that find lasting satisfaction just by kicking back and enjoying themselves? I mean, is that possible? I guess it is for some. But
I think it is for some, but very few. Most of the people I know do that. I mean, I have a good friend who's a retired pastor up in New Jersey, and he does a lot of traveling. He's got a group of couples. They travel the world together and plays golf, takes care of his grandkids 2 days a week. But he's always looking for a side job.
Yeah,
he's a pastor, so he does interim pastor work.
Yeah,
and he says, you know, Hans, I'm just not happy not to be doing something that's meaningful and doing some kind of work. So I think
I love
just,
that I love that quote from Leo Tolstoy that you had in the foreword to the book. The greatest error of leisure class is the erroneous belief that happiness consists in idleness.
Yes, that's powerful. That's powerful. You know, I think at the end of our lives, most people are going to say, and as I get older, they're going to say, I wish I'd spent more time with the people I love the most.
Amen.
And I wish I'd maybe done more things that people would remember me as a generous person, as a giving person, a person who gave back, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, in your book, you
compare
this.
You can be really selfish. I'm sorry. You know, I was just saying, we talk in our book about the difference between an entitlement spirit in retirement versus a giving spirit. And the entitlement spirit says, I've worked my whole life. Now I'm just going to take care of myself and enjoy myself in my retirement years.
Yeah, I've earned it.
So society owes it to me, you know.
Yeah. And, too much of that entitlement philosophy exists for younger people these days, too, I think, in some cases.
It really does. It does.
Well, in your book, you compare stages of life to going up a department store escalator, and you label a new emerging top floor elderescence. What do you mean by the term elderescence, and do you see this as a positive stage of life?
Yeah, it's elderlescence. It's like adolescence. But
I see.
Yeah, it's got an L in there, and if you think adolescence was discovered by Eric Erickson, you know, and labeled that, you know, back when society moved away from agrarian and the industrial societies created adolescence.
Yeah.
And during that time of life, you have to learn how to drive a car, you have to learn how to work, you have to learn how to relate to the opposite sex. And we say elderlescence is a new life stage that has developed because people live so much longer. Used to be people worked till 65, retired, and died. Now, average life expectancy for boomers is 85. So elderlescence is a very positive, exciting new life stage in our mind.
I see.
And
you know,
like adolescence, you have to learn new life skills.
Elderlescence, you probably have to relearn some skills, or you have to adapt, obviously, to your different stages of life. You may be slower, you know, your energy may be draining, but that doesn't mean you have to just resign to the nursing home, I would hope.
That's exactly right. And we say, you know, treat it like adolescence. Realize I have to learn new skills. It's going to be a different stage in my life. But we caution people, don't go to the dark place, the dark side, where you get just depressed and sit around in your bathrobe and you say, woe is me. Nobody cares about me anymore. I've been put on the shelf. I'm in the senior center.
Yeah.
We say, no, it can be, as Max Lucado says, our last act can be our finest song. I mean,
that's for sure.
We think it can be positive if you make the right decisions and plan and learn those new skills you need to learn.
Yeah, I saw two old ladies in a nursing home where my parents were the last few years of their life. It was so sad. They were talking to each other, and they said, well, I think we've really outlived our usefulness in life. And, you know, it was so depressing to hear somebody say that, because there are other people in that home who are positive, and they may be going around in their scooters or whatever, not be real mobile, but there was one man that was over 100 years old who was still youthful and positive and praising the guest pastors that came in once a week, and you knew he was engaged and active even though he was over 100. In fact, I like your elder lessons better than the term the 60 to 80 window, because I don't think the window necessarily closes when you reach 80 if you've got the right attitude.
That's true. That's a good point. Thank you. That's a good point.
Well, I guess the reason the elderlescent stage is only now emerging is that we're living longer, and also you baby boomers just aren't ready to step aside and let the younger people take over.
Well, I think we are living longer. That's why this new life stage has developed, because back in the day when Eric Erickson and these people wrote about life stages and all this. You know, people didn't live much past their mid-60s. So, right. Now, I do mention, and we, Rick and I, both believe we should get out of the way in terms of positions of authority and leadership and let the younger people take over. But just because we're giving up authority doesn't mean we're going to give up influence.
Yeah, that's,
so that's
I loved in your book,
job,
where,
you know,
where Rick talked about the experience he had that when you were over in Africa, or he was in Africa, and he like held an elder counselor role that the leader of that village turned to him because he was the oldest for advice and influence, rather than even though he wasn't the senior person in authority.
He wasn't the leader, but he was the gray hair. And, you know, I do have a chapter that I wrote in the book called Who Does God Say That I Am? And I think the cool thing about if you're a spiritual person is that God loves people just as much when they're 84 as when they're 14 or 24. You know, our culture here in America, we worship youth, but the Bible kind of honors old age, and that's our point. Hey, you know what? Older people should be honored and should be included, not stuck in the nursing home.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't try to assert our authority when we're older, and we don't try to tell the people a solution, but we can certainly point the way.
yes, right, exactly. And we talk a lot about mentoring, volunteering. You know, there's a lot of things you can do in your encore years to really have a great influence on other people.
Well, let's look at the other way. Let's say that you weren't a leader in your career, and you're just really just hanging on to retirement for the income, and it's just a job. But you want to make a meaningful contribution in your next stage of life, but you've never really been a leader, and you haven't a clue as to how to enjoy life while serving others, because you are always just done it because you had to make a living. Any suggestions, if you haven't been a leader, if you haven't really experienced that leadership, how you can discover what's right for you, or how you can be that influencer after you retire?
That's a great question, and this book is not a book for leaders. It's a book for every single person that's going to turn 65 and that's going to face post-retirement years and post-career years.
Yeah.
And so yesterday I was talking to somebody who was an electrician, and he's retiring, but he wants to keep making some money, and I was giving lots of ideas on how this person could create a little small business of their own and, you know, continue to make some money because he's got a very marketable skill.
Yes.
There are so many things you can do part-time. There's so many ways you can volunteer in the community. There's so many things you can do to be involved in a church if you're, again, a church-going person. I have
true.
A good friend who's my age. Well, he's 65, a little older than me, and he is part of the Boys Club, and he has a couple of these boys here who don't have fathers. He takes them fishing and takes them to car shows. You know, our book is just chock full of suggestions and ideas. You don't have to be a leader. You can be anybody.
You don't.
And a lot of people, Roy, a lot of people are looking forward to retiring from their jobs, and it can be an exciting time to pick up, to learn something new, to pick up something new.
Yeah, the other thing that was interesting to me in your book, or one of the many other things, is that you point out that earlier in life, most of us have our next stages pretty much laid out for us, and it's largely determined by circumstances or by someone else. Maybe, you know, when we're young, our parents, when we have a job, our employers, and or if you're even at the top, the board of directors. But then when we get to this late adult transition that we're talking about, it can be more scary than the prior transitions, because I guess we have to be our own boss, and we have to take charge and determine what we want to do with the rest of our lives.
Yes, it is a scary time. It's a time where we can be afraid and draw into ourselves. That's why we like to. That's why we wrote the book, as a warning and as a guidance, so it's not so scary. Because you're right. It can be it's uncharted territory, even though people have been getting old for as long as the earth is around.
Yes.
But for boomers who've always been so aggressively in charge, I think it has the potential of being the scariest phase of our lives.
Yeah.
Because we've always been in the middle, we've always had all the attention, and all of a sudden society's moving on. Just think about technologically how much things are changing in technology. And I know a lot of boomers who are technologically illiterate, or they're afraid of technology. And the world is now playing itself out online in so many ways, you know?
Yeah, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the Internet. It can be open up vast new areas of opportunity, but it also can be pretty scary, especially for us old-timers.
Yes.
Well, let's talk a little bit briefly about your latest book with Dr. Rick Hicks, Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. It seems like a perfect book for the times, as we're talking about all these 10,000 boomers retiring every day, or reaching 65 at least. We don't want to use the word retiring. But how is your book organized, and how does somebody go about approaching that book?
Okay, first of all, let me just say the book is available in ebook. It's available in print, and it's also available in large print.
Oh, great.
And you can buy it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. And the first part is what we call the challenge that lies before us. We have more life after our careers. And again, that's a new paradigm.
Yeah.
In back 50 years ago, people worked and then they died. But now we have a lot of life left after our career. The second part, part two, is the choices we have to make to get ready for that.
Yeah,
and
there's
I have
so
a chapter
you have
I wrote
to get ready for the next stage before it comes. You can't just wait for it and then what's here? What do we do next?
Yeah, or if you're in the middle of it and you're groping around, you're listening and you're thinking, well, I'm already in the middle of it and I need some help, grab this. I wrote this chapter 9, Old Dogs Can Learn New Tricks, because it's true.
Yeah.
Like I learned podcasting in my 60s.
Yeah.
I don't know when you learned it, but I thought, here's something brand new. It's very technological. And I learned how to do it because I wanted to teach. I had this podcast, The Leadership Answer Man, and I wanted to teach online through a podcast. And it's a great example of learning a new skill to help you do what you really are passionate about. I'm just passionate about teaching, and it gives me a chance to reach thousands of people.
Yeah, it's
then part three. Yeah, part three is stories. We have five chapters of five stories of people that show us the way. And these are ordinary people, from an airline pilot woman who became a stunt pilot to a firefighter, to people, a couple who moved to China to become volunteers over there and teach English as a second language. So just some great stories, examples. And then the final part four is
the
plan.
The best way to learn something is to hear a story. I know that always sinks into me.
So we got lots of stories. And then part four is the plan. Sort of tools and we talk about transition, we talk about concrete steps, and actually the last chapter is an assignment where you can actually write your plan.
Yeah,
you kind of
it's so important when you read a book that you don't just read it and set it aside. It's great to have a closing assignment or, exercises that you do, and so it does get you down and into action.
Absolutely.
So you can preview your book, you say, and then purchase it on Amazon. You also, I think, have a website, don't you, that's specifically related to that book?
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's called launchyourencore.com. Launchyourencore.com. And it's a website we built just for this book. You can learn more about me and Rick. And we also do speaking on the topic. You can request to have us come speak to your group, but learn about the book. And you can buy it through that website on all the online stores. And Yeah, if you like to buy books in bookstores, there aren't very many left anymore, but Barnes and Nobles and Lifeway, you can go in there and or Tattered Cover here in Colorado and tell them to get the book for you. But I think you'll enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, well, you also have a website that has your podcasts on it and lets people preview all your books on leadership. Give the people the address of that website, because I know there's a lot of more information about you and all your great leadership books.
Yeah, my website is just my name, hansfinzel.com, so you got to figure out how to spell my name to find it. It's H-A-N-S-F-I-N-Z-E-L, hansfinzel.com. And if you just Google Hans Finzel, you'll find my website. But there I have all my books, my podcasts, my speaking, and my mentoring stuff. So if you want, or if you want to contact me, if you're listening and you'd like to write me an email, you can go to my website, hansfinzel.com, and contact me through that.
Yeah, that's great, because there's a wealth of information on there. I know I listened to a couple of your podcasts. You even interview your co-author, Rick, on that one of those podcasts, and that was very interesting to hear about.
Yeah, in fact, the second podcast in that series just launched today. I have a three-part series on my podcast of Rick and I talking about the book.
Ooh.
So that's a great way to hear some more. Is just go to hansfinzel.com, and I don't know when you're going to broadcast this podcast, but probably by the time you launch it, all three will be out there.
Sure,
and that's a kind of way to listen through some of the principles of the book.
Well, in concluding today's program, our discussion, the foreword to Hans's book kind of sums it up in a nutshell. Retirement should not be an exit sign, but a door into something fresh, new, and exciting. I love that term. And in the next stage of life, always remember you are the CEO of you, and you're in charge. No one else is going to tell you what to do in retirement. Maybe your spouse will. So you need to work together.
Exactly.
You can choose to be productive and happy, or you can sit around feeling sorry for yourself because you no longer matter and you no longer have any influence in life. I mean, all that silliness that certain sad individuals experience after they give up that formal organization title or that formal job they had. But that's not the way to live the last 20 or 30 years of your life. I'm sure you'll agree. And thanks a million, Dr. Hans Finzel, and best of success in getting your message out far and wide, because it's certainly a relevant message to us.
Well, thank you so much, Roy. It's just an honor to be on your show, and I'd love to hear from your listeners. If they want to go to my website and get a hold of me, that'd be just great. So thanks so much for having me today.
And thank you for joining us. Well, I'm sure you'll all agree that Dr. Hans Finzel is a most inspiring guest. Before we go for today, I want to talk about one final thing, a vow that you can make yourself. Whether you're near retirement or not, I recommend that you prepare for launch of your maiden voyage to personal fulfillment with a solemn vow. Promise yourself right now that on your final day on earth, regardless of circumstances, you will not bitterly shake your head, sigh deeply, and utter the following three mournful phrases of regret: what if only, or I could have been. When you think about it, what sad phrases those are when you've moved so far in your life that there's no turning back, and you think of all the opportunities you've missed because you didn't venture and try out and try new things. You know, you'll never know for certain just how much you can accomplish pre-retirement or post-retirement, or how wonderful life can be, unless you challenge yourself routinely to attempt something new, new ways of thinking, new ways of action. Each one of us is granted only one lifetime, after all. You must not squander yours, and I must not squander mine. You know, you'll continue to sell yourself short only if you permit your inner self or someone else to define your limitations for you, or if you refuse to imagine life's infinite possibilities. This very day, let go of your inhibitions. Visualize unrestrained lifelong satisfaction on your own terms. You know, visualization does work. Your mind can be fooled through visualization and accept a positive outlook just as if the circumstances has already changed. Unleash your imagination and begin your search for the vibrant, life-affirming experience of your dreams. And you've got to have those dreams, obviously, before you can have the positive experience. When all is said and done, you have nothing to lose but self-doubt and negative thinking, and you don't want that old negative thinking to hang around anymore, do you? Very soon, I expect to observe you joyfully moving forward through life, positive, energized, and completely at peace with yourself and with the world. And welcome to our ever-expanding congregation of freshly anointed midlife winners. And you know, if you've had an inspiring renewal in your life or turned over a new leaf and are positive, we'd love to hear about your experience. Perhaps you could even appear as a guest on a future program. You can contact me through my website. That's middleagerenewal.com. I'd love to hear from you if you have had a positive experience in midlife renewal. And if you'd like a detailed roadmap to get you from where you are today to the life of your dreams, why don't you purchase my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up, by Roy C. Richards. It's available both in print and in ebook form. And you can preview my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or on our website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And I think you'll find that it's a roadmap that's well worth having if you're stuck on neutral and just not enjoying the life that you were created to enjoy. And we all, by the way, were created by the eternal being for a life of positive movement and joy in our lives, and if it's short of that, we're really not living up to our potential. And that's it for today. Now let's all go out and ensure that middle age can be our best age. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.